welcome in longtime color analyst on the K-State Sports Network. Stan Weber joins us from Kansas City this afternoon. Mr. Weber, it's a pleasure. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, nice talking to you, Matt. Hello to everyone.
Bill Snyder and spring football, the way he goes about it, what he wants to see in the spring game, in the scrimmage, and the amount of impact that the spring game really has leading into the summer months and the training during the offseason, how do you view that?
Well, I think there's some choices that a coach has to make when he gets to the spring game. And one of the main ones is, are you going to try to put a situation together where you have a very competitive game and you have your guys have the highest level of evenness? So you sometimes have a draft, you know. The right tackle goes to the purple, and the starting right guard ends up on the white, and you end up with two teams that are very even, and you go out there and play. That's one philosophy, and it's one that we used back when I was in college. It was a lot of fun to talk about the draft, and we ate dinner, I guess, pregame meals separate from each other a little bit to get some excitement going, you know. And Ron Prince, I think, had one year where one team got steak and the other got hamburger, the winner versus the loser. But I think Bill Snyder's made a choice to say, I like continuity. You know, I want to see the whole offensive line work together. I want to see the starters get good work together. And so, therefore, he has always made the choice to have his first-string offense play against the backups, and then on the same team, the first-string defense playing the backups, so that you get the first string against the others, and obviously you know which team is going to have success and lead the score and all those kind of things. So I think that's one thing Bill Snyder tries to get out of it. I think there's a lot that they can get. You know, it's one of 15 practices in Bill Snyder's mind. But I think from the player's perspective, the guys that haven't played a lot get a real chance to get a game-like situation and step up. If you're a new starter stepping in and you go out, you get somewhat of a game feel, and it's important to see how you respond. It's different to me than the other 14 practices. And we've seen guys like Quincy Morgan, for instance, in a spring game, light it up and give us an indication of what he's going to look like next season. And I think we can see some of that. How about Jake Waters last year? I thought what we saw in a spring game looked pretty close to what we ended up with seeing in the season with Jake Waters. So, you know, for an established starter like Jake Waters, it doesn't really matter what happens in the spring game. You don't need to get on the show on Monday, Matt, and say, well, I thought he was off. You know, it's through a couple of interceptions. Is that a problem? No problem at all. For the guys that are established starters, they probably don't have the adrenaline flow. They know that they're playing a team that's not as good as them. They play them in practice all the time. But for the guys that step in and get their first opportunity, when you look at the running back position, for instance, this is their chance to start, to break the huddle with the first string. How do they handle that? For those guys, I think it is a good indication, and I think it does matter.
Well, how about a guy like Daniel Sams, who's making the transition this spring to wide receiver? What was your reaction to hearing that, and how difficult of a move do you think that will be for him?
I think it's a very challenging move. Most position changes really are. The style and what you do in football is very different as you move around the field. So I think any time a quarterback goes to wide receiver, there are a lot of subtleties to learn. Now, obviously, no one knows the patterns better and knows where everyone wants to go and the sequencing. Then you have to look at the athletic ability, speed, quickness, cutting ability, how are your hands, how do you like catching the ball, what about all the different type of throws that you have to catch. All those things are in play, but I think it's the hardest to know all the angles and what you need to do for blocking pass plays and run the routes the way you need. So I do think it's a big challenge. I think it's nice that Bill Snyder gave Daniel Sams an opportunity to do that and see if he can get his talent onto the field quicker rather than sit behind Jake Waters. Now, I don't think Daniel Sams sitting is really words that go together in my mind, because there's really no reason if Daniel Sams is just a quarterback or if he's a wide receiver that he can't be a part of the Wildcat package and be a quarterback back there. I mean, other teams put wide receivers back there. Why can't you put Daniel Sams back there? So I still think he's a core guy to be a Wildcat player, and maybe he'll be good enough to get some time at wide receiver as well. This will be important in a spring game to get that opportunity. But in my mind, hey, I don't write off Daniel Sams as a quarterback. When we look two seasons down the line, when Jake Waters graduates, why wouldn't you think about Daniel Sams still being the best quarterback for Kansas State? And it'd be hard to be as good as he is. So I never write off the fact that no matter what he does to try to get on the field and make himself more available, more diverse, that in my mind it never will leave. It'll be position slash quarterback in my mind always for Daniel Sams.
Well, it's interesting you say that because we've heard a lot of good things about Jesse Ertz. It seems like the coaching staff is pretty high on the redshirt freshman at quarterback, but do you think he would be ready then, one, to be the backup quarterback this fall, and as you mentioned, take that open starting role next year?
I don't think you can project 2 years down the line and say who's going to be the starting quarterback. He's got a lot of development to be in that situation, and he's got plenty of time as well, for that matter. But you just compare Jesse Ertz and what he's doing. He's getting some very good time. It actually helps him. For instance, he's getting more reps, better reps, that Daniel Sams isn't taking some of those quarterback reps. So that helps speed up the process. And, yes, you should be excited about what he can do. But even if he didn't start his sophomore year, you wouldn't say that there's anything wrong. I mean, for instance, if we made a case up, we're just talking here, I mean, if Waters stays healthy next year and is the quarterback all year long, what happens if Daniel Sams came back the next year and was a starting quarterback, and then Jesse was a starting quarterback for the next 2 years? It'd still be a very successful run. So there's this. Anything I'm saying has nothing to do with being down on Jesse Ertz. I'm excited about what he can do. He has a great chance of being a starting quarterback at Kansas State if he continues on. That said, I think Joe Huebner's had some nice moments in spring as well, and it's not easy for Jesse just to blow past a Joe Huebner. He throws a very nice ball and has done some good things. So both those guys are working very hard, Huebner and Ertz, as the backup quarterback, and we'll have to see how they develop to see would they literally be, if Jake Waters, twisted an ankle and couldn't play for a week or something, would Kansas State be best off playing one of those guys and saying, hey, they're the backup quarterback? Or would they be best off saying, well, I think it's now time to look at Daniel Sams back at quarterback? And that's a question that it's all answered by how good is Jesse Ertz or Joe Huebner. They'll answer that question more than anything. I think Daniel Sams is a known commodity. We know he's a good quarterback. We know Kansas State can win with him playing and playing every down. So it's really, we're talking about some good news here that you got these guys who we can project being good, and I think we know Daniel Sams already is.
Big part of the offense is the offensive line. You bring in the inside guys, but you lose the tackles. Luke Hayes is a guy that's making some headway. Cody Whitehair is a guy that's working from inside out during the spring. How do you see Coach Snyder utilizing the offensive line throughout the spring game?
Well, I think that you start with B.J. Finney, obviously, and Cody Whitehair is going to be a starter. Boston Stuyvesant is going to be a starter. And I do think that Luke Hayes will be out there as a starting lineman as well. Then it's just a matter of, who else gets the opportunity? Is it a guy like Klein Sorge getting an opportunity to get with the starting unit? But Drew Little is doing a good job fighting out there. Will Ash is playing well also. But I think that Luke Hayes is a big factor for the Wildcats as we look to next fall. He is a very good junior college player coming in, and the tackle position is important for K-State. Now, the Wildcats always seem to find answers in the offensive line and always seem to be solid. Coach Dickey does an amazing job. Coach Bill Snyder does an amazing job. Dana Dimmel, the whole offensive crew, usually gets those questions answered well. But the two new starters that are going to have to step in are going to be joining a very talented group. I tell you, K-State fans should be super excited when you talk about Cody Whitehair, B.J. Finney, and Boston Stuyvesant. These are some big-time players on Kansas State's offensive line. It reminds me back in the day when the late 90s and so forth where K-State was producing NFL-type linemen, and they got a chance with those three guys, if they play their best and continue their improvement, to be guys who will play in the NFL. But the question is, how about the other two guys? How do they step up? And Luke Hayes appears to be one of the guys that's going to need to do it.
K-State Sports Network color analyst Stan Weber, our guest on the game this afternoon. And Stan, you alluded to running back a moment ago. Any kind of trepidation on what K-State has in the backfield simply because the game reps are so small? It sounds like DeMarcus Robinson may be dinged up. We're going to see Jarvis Leverett, Charles Jones, guys that didn't work in the spring game last year. I mean, without a doubt, is this the number one question mark for K-State from now all the way into the fall?
Well, it could be, and it's definitely in one of the key categories. But how the question gets answered is interesting because Bill Snyder has opportunities to run his offense a lot of different ways, especially with Jake Waters at the quarterback. Now, let's go back to the core of your question. It always concerns you when you lose a guy like John Hubert, who's the second all-time leading rusher for K-State, made plays in big games, starting with the great runs that he had against Miami when K-State really introduced themselves to the world on that hot day in Miami and said, guess what, Colin Klein, John Hubert, big-time players. And Hubert protected the football. He picked up blitzes. He knew what he was doing out there. Yes, they've lost a lot. And you don't have guys who've been out on the field because it's really Robert Rose who got the other carries. That said, don't forget that Glenn Gronkowski played a lot last year. And if K-State wants to kind of Chad May style, go four wide receivers and one back in the backfield, Glenn Gronkowski could be perfect. He can run the football. I know he carried it only one time last year, but he can carry the football better than people think. He's much more knowledgeable and ready to play now as a sophomore than he was as a freshman. So you have options. You don't just have to rely on a true running back. You can put one back in the backfield and have it be someone like Glenn. That said, the running back position, you hope, has some people ready to step up. DeMarcus Robinson is one, like you said, and I think Charles Jones is got a real opportunity to fill the void. And Jarvis Leverett's a part of the mix as well, but I think Charles Jones could give us some excitement. Now he's young, only young in the fact that he hasn't been on the field yet. But if Charles Jones plays like he does in the spring, and if DeMarcus Robinson plays like we expect him to, we might be okay. I mean, it might be a young John Hubert rather than a senior John Hubert, but K-State can win, and they can work around when it comes to offense. They can work around inexperience and say, well, let's put him in this situation. If it's a big blitz situation in a game, Matt, and you're down on the sideline getting ready for a big play, maybe you don't want one of those freshman running backs in there to determine where the blitzer's coming from. Maybe you put Gronkowski out there. K-State can do that. They have answers on offense, and that's one of the reasons why it may be a giant question. Running back obviously is, but I'm not too concerned that it's not going to be answered because I think Bill Snyder can work around it. Now, that offensive line and those two new starters, they're out there on every play, and that's a core thing. So I think the two new starters on the offensive line, the running backs, and then defensively, you know, the depth and play of the safeties is going to be very good, interesting to watch. And really the whole secondary with K-State turning over the players they did, led by Ty Zimmerman, there's going to be a lot of questions of how good is Kansas State going to be in the secondary, who's going to step up and really take over for those guys on defense.
Yeah, you lead me right into where I wanted to go next, Dan. It is that secondary. What is the bigger challenge? Is it trying to replace everything that Ty Zimmerman brought you, or just trying to replace the two starting corners in Kip Daly and Dorian Roberts that are now gone?
I think it's Ty Zimmerman. In the K-State defense in today's modern football, those guys are put under extreme pressure. Now, Ty Zimmerman gave them so many more things in the fact that he got everybody lined up correctly. You've got to communicate with the no-huddle offenses. Just getting the communication to the players and making sure that they got the right defense. Everyone's playing the same defense. Because if everyone's not playing the same defense, you get a situation. Remember when Baylor just had a couple of plays where a guy was wide open downfield? All it took is for the safety in the corner to be playing differently, and someone goes flying wide open. That wasn't athleticism. That wasn't, you know, Baylor outran Kansas State or jumped higher and caught a pass. It's just two guys not quite on the same page, and boom, someone's wide open.